This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say we are hosts, but we are also realtors with Oakwind Realty in Vancouver. So fired up for today because we've got Douglas Porter. He's the chief economist of the Bank of Montreal, BMO, some might say.
Some might call it BMO. This is, well, let's just call it for what it is. Right. This is, we called an audible. We had another episode lined up, but what happened was Corey Wright on the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast landed Douglas Porter.
Yes.
And then Corey and I sat down with Douglas Porter, chief economist at BMO, well-known, if you ever follow along Bloomberg, the rest, well-known staple in the financial world. We had a half hour conversation with him. I thought it was so timely and so good. I said, Adam, we got to drop this on both. So Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, but also the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
There's a lot of overlap between the commercial and the residential show, but there's also a lot of people that don't necessarily care about commercial real estate as much as they do residential.
Well, and here's the thing about this conversation. I mean, we talk a lot about real estate, but it's not necessarily asset class specific or residential or commercial.
Right.
This is more of a what's going on in the Canadian economy, what's coming up, what are his thoughts on the next year, year and a half, 18 months. And it's very specific to this moment. So it's just a useful conversation, I think, for anyone.
When you get 30 minutes from Douglas Porter, you put it out on both shows.
That is exactly it. So stay tuned for that. It's a good one. I can't wait to re-listen to this.
Yeah, for sure, Matt. And before we get to this conversation with Douglas Porter, we should say, the episode we bumped is phenomenal. That's coming out the
following. Oh, and there's no disrespect.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
And there's so many good episodes coming. We're not even going to say what it was.
This is
only,
just the
reason we know.
Exactly. And the thing about the Douglas Porter conversation is it's just very timely. If we put this out 2-3 weeks from now, who knows what data comes out that totally changes the entire economic world.
Are you saying that it's not predictable these times?
These times are a little uncertain, so stay tuned for that. This is a good one.
Yeah, Matt, and before we get to that, we should say we are sponsored by Scalina Real Estate. This is our real estate company. We help people buy and sell in the Lower Mainland. And today's featured listing is over at the Lumiere Building, 1867 Alberni Street, unit 1702, which is actually in the West End. It borders Coal Harbor.
I see. And I was always thinking that was Coal Harbor.
No, it's actually classified as the West End, but west of Denman. I love this building. I've always loved this building. It's such a beautiful build. It's got AC. It's got a full-time concierge that's there Monday through Friday. Overheight ceilings. The level of finish for the time it was built stood the test of time.
And what year was it built? And what is this, a two-bed, one-bed?
2004, it was built. It's a two-bed, two-bath with a den and just phenomenal. Beautiful, beautiful plan. And really, the nice thing is you get the Coal Harbor views. So you get kind of the North Shore Mountains, you get Lost Lagoon, you get everything just north. And then you also get English Bay, which is phenomenal. And then you get really great city views. And the thing that I love, just quick note about Alberni right now, if you look at the level of like the type of builds that are being built along Alberni, like this is some of the nicest real estate in Canada that's being put up along Alberni.
North America, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's unbelievable the stuff that's being built along Alberni. So I think it's a fantastic investment, even if you're planning on living in it, which this is very much got that end user kind of feel to it.
Well, it's a beautiful listing. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. We have our featured listings there right now. And you can also click the sold plan or sell with us to get the sold plan when you're there.
Yeah. And the sold plan, our most downloaded document, is of course a step-by-step guide for how to get your property ready for market. It's free. It's available on our website. You as the listener, if you have a property that you are thinking about selling, get the sold plan. But even if you don't, even if you just want this, it's great. It's great to get your house in order even. Never mind if you are an agent or someone in the industry and you want to download this document. It's an instant download. You click, you get it. That's all it is. And it's worth having.
Absolutely. VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Hit sell with us. Adam, one more thing before we cut to our talk with Douglas Porter. Two things, actually. One is, didn't do the five wire. Okay. We caught him in TO.
This is Corey Wright and myself.
You haven't heard this. No, so we didn't do the five wire because we had a hard cutoff. So this is a half hour that is literally jam-packed. Okay, yes. So that's one thing. And second is we got to talk about Jaden Lee.
Yeah.
So
this is coming up really soon.
This is really coming up. I've been running every second, third day.
And this has been running through my mind.
I was going to say, I think running. But I've been running all over East Van in preparation. October 6th, Jaden Lee is running starting at 3 p.m. after his last check-in at BC Children's Hospital. He's running back to Chilliwack. This is going to be 100 miles. He's taken the long way home.
Yes.
He's running 100 miles, as everybody knows who listens to the show. He's trying to raise $150,000 for BC Children's Hospital. His episode is a phenomenal episode if you want to be inspired. Even if you don't want to go back and listen to Jaden Lee's episode, you definitely want to donate to this cause. There's a secured link on our Instagram at Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. There's a secured link in the Livewire, which is our weekly mailer, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Sign up for it there. Or you can go straight to the source, underscore Jaden Lee on Instagram.
Yeah, just at underscore Jaden Lee.
And that's J-A-Y-D-E-N-L-E-E.
Yes.
Tons of people from the VREP community, I think, are coming out to run.
We see you, VREP community. It's it's unbelievable how many people have donated. And I just checked the other day. I don't know if people want to be pointed out, but we see you. There's been some whoppers donated, which is just incredible to see people that have been on the show that have donated.
Yeah.
People that have been in the community that have donated. Yeah, we love you for that.
This is going to be the feel-good running event of the fall.
Can't wait for that, Matt. Without further ado, Douglas Porter, Chief Economist at BMO.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one-beds to three-beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life. Okay, we're here with Doug Porter, Chief Economist at BMO. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We always start our show by asking our guests, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I've actually been an economist for my entire career. I know that sounds very exciting. I started at the... Started at the Bank of Canada back in the early 1980s, but I've been on Bay Street since 1984. Most of the time, not all of it. Most of it has been with the Bank of Montreal, and I've been a chief economist here in Toronto with the bank for a little bit more than 10 years. I manage a team of about 16 people, a couple of whom are now in San Francisco. We just recently acquired the Bank of the West, which is now part of BMO, so we have a small economics group in San Francisco now. And I would assert or suggest that that we're probably the best economic shop in Canada.
Well, Doug, like I said, for those who listen to the podcast, you need no introduction. We appreciate you taking the time. By far the most requested guest we always get is to have you back. So we appreciate that. So I guess I'll lead off with the questions. I know we've been looking forward to this. What's going on? How interest rates are up. Inflation seems to be up over last month's stats. Can you maybe just give us a quick, just broad strokes of just where we're at right now before we can sort of dig into some stuff in more detail?
So I think the really big story, and arguably this has been the economic story for 2023, is just how resilient the North American and the global economy have been. When you think back to a year ago, it was pretty much conventional wisdom, and I would say the consensus forecast, that North America and Canada specifically were going to go through at least a mild recession this year. That has not happened. I'm not going to tell you that the Canadian economy has been a ball of strength. It hasn't been. But it's held up better than I think most expected. And definitely the U.S. economy has held up better than expected. And mostly as a result of this, we find ourselves with higher interest rates than I think anybody really expected a year ago. The Fed, you know, has made no promises about being finished raising interest rates. The Bank of Canada has made no promises. And maybe the major story here in the last couple months in financial markets is that long-term interest rates, bond yields, are just grinding higher. And, you know, for instance, as we speak, 10-year yields in Canada and the U.S. are at levels that we haven't seen since 2007. So basically, you have to go all the way back to before the global financial crisis since we've seen yields at these kind of levels. And, you know, just to put in perspective, like recently we had the 10-year yield in the U.S. touch 4.5%. It was just 4% at the end of July. It was 3.5% back in May. That, you know, that is arguably one of the most important interest rates in the world. And it's gone up by roughly 100 basis points in a matter of a few months. That's a big deal. And again, a lot of it just goes back to this underlying theme of economic resilience. And frankly, what that means is higher rates for longer.
How do you think about the resilience, Doug? Because I think it's caught everybody a little bit off guard. What accounts for the resilience in the North American and Canadian economy?
Well, there are a few things to point to, but I would say the overall story has been the consumer. And a lot of it just goes back to the fact that consumers in both Canada and the U.S. were sitting on a lot of savings after the pandemic. Now, and I still believe there was a lot of pent-up demand, too, for things like travel and entertainment. I mean, look at the demand for Taylor Swift tickets. Maybe that's a bad example, or rather specific example. But there's a lot of demand still for travel and entertainment in particular. And, you know, as I said, consumers were sitting on a lot of savings. We knew that coming into this year. We just didn't know how that would stack up against the big rate hikes that we've seen. And so there was a bit of a debate who would win that battle. And it's pretty obvious that pent-up demand and the extra savings dominated the rise in interest rates. And so I think it really does simply go back to the consumer. I think the other piece of the puzzle is that the labor market is still pretty strong. Like, and we'll get into this later, I think. You know, we have seen some softening in the labor market a little bit around the edges. But the big story there is we've still got one of the lowest jobless rates that we've seen in decades in both Canada and the U.S. And, you know, even though there's been some cooling, we've still been adding a lot of jobs in both economies. So underlying income growth has remained relatively firm throughout this this episode. And so, you know, ultimately, it's been the consumer who still managed to slog ahead, even in the face of a dramatic run-up in interest rates.
Doug, do we kind of nail the soft landing, or do you see Canada heading into a recession either by the end of this year or early 2024?
So I personally still think that's very much an open question. You know, at some point in recent months, we've seen Wall Street almost act as if the U.S. has achieved a soft landing. There have been a few more questions about that in recent weeks. Because there's a lot of new risks that are out there for the economy. But I would say up to this point, this is, you know, I think we have been close to so far having a soft landing. But, you know, the reality is with an economy is the flight never really ends, right? You know, once you get to one spot, you keep moving forward right. one way or another. So, you know, it's not guaranteed that what's been a soft landing so far will remain so. And I think there is a little bit of a distinction between Canada and the U.S. We actually do have a somewhat weaker outlook for the Canadian economy than the U.S. economy. And much of that goes back to the vulnerability of the household sector here in Canada to the run-up in interest rates. We have a lot more household debt in Canada than they do in the U.S., and that's a relatively new phenomenon. That was not true 15 years ago. And our debt turns over a lot faster than the U.S. You know, a lot of Americans, of course, have 30-year mortgages. We don't have that here. And so a run-up in interest rates will affect the Canadian consumer a bit more harshly and a bit quicker. And so we suspect the consumer is more likely to crumble here in Canada than in the U.S. So I still think it's a little bit of an open question. We don't officially have a recession in our forecast. I would almost call it a recessionette. We've got a couple quarters of negative GDP, but they're not back to back. So it's more like a 1 year period where the economy struggles to see any growth whatsoever, and we do look for a little bit of a further rise in unemployment. But it really doesn't rise to the definition of a recession. Meanwhile, in the U.S. in our official forecast, we don't have a single quarter of negative GDP. Make no mistake, we don't see strong growth. But we just don't think the consumer is going to be under as much strain as it will be in Canada because of the lower level of debt and the fact that they're locked in for a longer period of time. So we actually see the U.S. economy stumbling through with modest growth. And I guess if I had to define it, I would call what we have in our U.S. forecast as a soft landing. And by the way, last comment I'll make on that is that's a question Jerome Powell, chair of the Fed, gets asked all the time, you know, is that a soft landing that you've got in your forecast? And he will not use that term. He's not that confident. And, you know, frankly, there's just such a range of possibilities, and there's a lot of different risks out there facing both the Canadian and the U.S. economy. I don't think anybody's quite willing to stick their neck out and say that, you know, yes, we have definitely reached a soft landing. But I would say when we look back over the past year, as I said earlier, I think the economy's held up a lot better than we could have realistically hoped for a year ago, given the dramatic run-up in interest rates and the kind of inflation we've been dealing with.
And can we just play out the next year in Canada? Because, you know, I'm hearing higher for longer, a struggle through the next year. Is this more like in a weird way? I mean, I guess Corey and I are both in the real estate world, so it's impacted us more dramatically than others. But it feels like we've been purgatory for a while here. Just, you know, when does this end? It sounds like in your mind, we got another year of kind of struggling through with seemingly data points that don't give you a clear indication of where we're headed.
Yeah, and I think now is the time to turn to the inflation and the interest rate outlook, because really that's going to determine whether we ultimately do go into something, you know, a bit more of a harder landing and exactly how long rates are going to have to stay at this level. It really does come back to inflation. And unfortunately, you know, we've now had 2 months in a row where Canada's inflation rate has ticked up. You know, as a reminder, we got as low as 2.8% back in June. That actually was within, just barely, but it was within the Bank of Canada's so-called comfort zone between 1% and 3%. But unfortunately, largely because gasoline prices have turned from being a friend to a foe, you know, we've now got a 4% headline inflation rate. And maybe most disturbingly, we actually saw a little bit of a pickup in underlying or core inflation in August as well. And, you know, the Bank of Canada just can't be comfortable with that. The fact that inflation is both above the three and the high end of their comfort zone at above 3%, and even underlying inflation looks like it's starting to pick back up again too. So, you know, above and beyond whether the bank hikes one more time or not, I think the main message is they're going to have to stay at fairly high levels for some time. One change we've made to our forecast is we actually don't see them cutting interest rates now until the second half of next year. And even then, unless the economy really weakens abruptly, even then, I think it's going to be sort of a slow step down the staircase in bringing rates down. I don't think they're going to slash them. I think it's going to be a relatively slow grind down. And I guess the last piece of the puzzle is, you know, where do rates ultimately settle out? You know, when we're on the other side of this inflation episode, like how low will rates get? Are they going to go back to the kind of levels that we became used to before the pandemic? And I think the answer is no. I don't think they're going back to those kind of levels. I think that period was an outlier. The decade before the pandemic, you know, keep in mind that we were still dealing with the aftermath of the global financial crisis and all, you know, the banking crisis in the U.S. And rates were probably unnaturally low for the decade before the pandemic. So if we think of the Bank of Canada's overnight interest rate, you know, this is pretty closely tied to all short-term interest rates. Right now it's 5%. We would expect on the other side of this, so when we look, let's say, about 2 years from now, we would expect it to gravitate back to a range of about 2.5 to 3%. So, you know, considerably lower than we are here today, but not down to the kind of extreme lows that we had in the decade before the pandemic.
Doug, Matt, as Matt alluded to, we were in the real estate side of the business with, and obviously interest rates have had an impact on it. What are you guys seeing on a national level? Has the real estate market maybe been more resilient than everyone thought, considering the run-up in interest rates as quickly as that took place?
I would say the short answer is yes, it has been more resilient. You know, it's interesting, and it's kind of odd to say that, given the fact that national home prices, if we look at the Real Estate Association's home price index, they actually did correct from the peak in early 22 to early 23 by a little bit more than 15%. I mean, that is a very serious correction. But I would say, if anything, that was less than many of us expected, given the kind of interest rate hikes. Like, we and, you know, others were looking for a national decline of 20 to 25%. And of course, there are big differences regionally in terms of both that forecast and what actually happened. And, you know, there are a number of cities that didn't see anything like that kind of decline, like Calgary. Calgary prices are actually higher than they were, you know, at the national peak in early 2022. So that means some cities saw, you know, much more severe correction than that. I would say BC did better than average. You know, it wasn't quite in Calgary's league. But if I look at Vancouver and even Victoria to some extent, that area held up better than, say, central Canada, especially Ontario. Now, Ontario had the biggest boom during the pandemic, and it's had the biggest hangover since. So Ontario's been, you know, sort of the high beta region of the country. But I would say, if we look at it nationally, you know, we did get a nice little, you know, prices started to come back during the spring and in early summer when the Bank of Canada, you know, looked like they might be done raising rates, which, you know, I think astonished a lot of us how quickly the housing market started to get back up off the mat again. And, you know, frankly, I think that's one of the reasons why the Bank of Canada started to raise interest rates again, because housing did look suddenly, you know, so resilient. So, you know, it's almost like the real estate industry has to be a little bit careful what they hope for.
Right.
Because, you know, the bank is watching real estate very, very closely. And if real estate is a bit too healthy, then, you know, that actually raises the risk that the bank might raise rates further again. That's certainly one aspect of, or one thing that's going to go into their decision of whether they actually do ultimately have to raise rates one more time or not.
Doug, have we seen the bottom in the residential and commercial real estate markets? I heard the past tense there a couple times. I don't know if that suggests as much.
So, excellent question, and one I'm not 100% confident answering. And, you know, ultimately, of course, this is the question that matters, I'm sure, to everyone. I would hazard to guess that nationally we may have seen the bottom, because I don't believe the Bank of Canada is going to have to raise rates further from here. And if they do, it's another quarter. So, you know, most of the bad news on rates is already in. I'm not 100% convinced it's completely been absorbed in the market, but I'm very impressed at how well the real estate market has dealt with the rise in rates, including the, you know, the two latest rate hikes by the Bank of Canada. I suspect, and if we look at it nationally, we're probably going to see the market more or less going sideways over the next 6 to 12 months. You know, again, there's going to be big differences by regions. But if we look at it nationally, and by the way, it just so happens that the Toronto area has been pretty close to the national average for the past year or so, I suspect that things are going to be more or less fighting to a draw in terms of home prices. You know, a number of metrics suggest the market's actually relatively balanced now. You know, it's neither a seller's nor a buyer's market. at this point. And you know, of course, that pendulum has swung pretty wildly in the last 18 months, back and forth. But we now find ourselves, at least nationally, fairly well balanced. And so my best guess at this point is we probably have past the worst, but I wouldn't expect a quick turn up. Not with long term interest rates still under upward pressure here.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
I'm just thinking about something we've talked about a number of times. We come back to it all the time on the podcast about at least the Vancouver real estate bubble. It seems like the Canadian housing bubble now is a story. The IMF said that we were the riskiest of 27 developed countries. You've mentioned our household debt being way out of line with where it was, say, 15 years ago. What's BMO's take, and I guess Doug Porter's take, on the idea of the Canadian housing bubble, and how at risk are we?
So all I will say is I've been hearing the bubble commentary for a long, long time. You know, it wasn't so long ago that people were fretting about overbuilding and a crash in Canadian housing, you know, as recently as about 2012, 13, even 14. You know, and of course that, you know, history has proven made a mockery of those kind of calls. You know, if anything, the conventional wisdom has gone exactly to the other side. Now we have, you know, this desperate shortage of homes. You know, of course, no less an authority than the CMHC is saying we have to build X million homes. You know, we're always going to be unaffordable. By the way, we don't totally buy into that either. We don't think it's nearly that extreme. Mm. I certainly think there is some risk in the housing market. You know, could it correct again? And I guess this goes back a little bit to the last question. There certainly is a risk, especially if the Bank of Canada gets frustrated with the inflation outlook and feels the need to move up short term rates even more. That would put the housing sector at some further risk. But I will say, you know, one thing the Canadian housing market has going for it, you know, not everybody would see this as a positive, but it does have going for it, is just the incredibly strong population growth that is underpinning the market. You know, interest rates over the near term will dominate that factor, but over the medium and longer term, demographics really do hold sway. And that is a powerful source of support for the housing market. So, you know, I think there's no question about that. So, you know, even if we did have a, you know, further correction in home prices, I suspect it wouldn't last that long. Like, I don't think we're at the same kind of risk that, you know, that the U.S. housing market went through in 06, 07, 08, 09. I just don't see us repeating that experience. Very, very different dynamics here in Canada than the U.S. So that's a long way of saying, yeah, I agree there are some risks in the Canadian housing market, but there are some good reasons why prices are so high in this country.
Doug, we talked earlier a little bit about where the rates are now, and there might be still a little bit of uptick there. And I guess from a doomsday scenario, what would potentially drive rates higher than where they're at right now? I know you talked a little bit about how the government maybe be a little uncomfortable with the core inflation numbers right now and that, but if things don't improve or things continue to go in the opposite direction, what would be like a worst case scenario these rates might look at? Like what has to happen for the Canadian government to say, hey, or the BOC to say, hey, we're going to continue to push rates up just, you know, until it's like almost unaffordable? Is that a scenario that potentially might play itself out?
It is, and I don't want to downplay that. That's certainly not our baseline view, but it you know, I would give it about a 15-20% chance that, you know, we get into a situation where the bank really has to slam on the brakes. And I doubt they'd be alone. Like this would probably be more of a global issue, you know, where the Fed feels frustrated, you know, that there's just no progress on inflation. Like the last thing central banks want to see is an inflationary mindset really get locked in and people just come to accept 4-5% inflation or higher. And, you know, what could lead us there? Well, you know, if we got another spike in oil prices or food prices, you know, that could trigger, you know, another wave of near-term inflation that feeds into broader inflation expectations. If the North American economy remains robust and, you know, and we start to see very strong wage increases, that sort of feed on itself as well, you know, maybe combined with strong energy prices. And we probably get an indication that underlying inflation, you know, not only is it not moderating, it's actually starting to pick back up again. And maybe we get another energy price spike. Those are the kind of things that I get quite concerned about, that, you know, the central bank just lose patience and feel like they have to slam on the brakes. And I don't totally rule that out. You know, if you look at financial pricing, market pricing, or the consensus forecast of economists, almost all of us think that rates are going to come down next year, you know, to varying degrees. But almost everybody thinks that, you know, the Fed and the Bank of Canada are going to be at least trimming interest rates by late next year. And I would just throw out there, a lot of people thought that a year ago. And, you know, here we are still talking about possible rate hikes. So, like, never say never. It is possible that it's going to take, you know, more to really quell inflation. And I think that is a realistic risk.
You know, one thing over the last couple of years, I think especially since COVID, it seems like forecasting has gotten much more challenging. At least that's what it seems like. Is it, say, from 6 months or a year ago or even 18 months, is it getting easier to forecast in your mind now? Or does it remain really, really challenging?
I think it's easier. 2020 and 2021 were incredibly tough to forecast because, look, you know, basically what we were trying to forecast is where the disease was going and, you know, and how governments would react to it. And then, you know, how would consumers and households and businesses then react to that? You know, it was just like playing, you know, four-dimensional chess. And frankly, it was a situation none of us had ever seen before. And then, you know, we had the added element that could we trust the economic data that was being produced at the time? It was just so wild. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd never seen numbers like that. I would say we're back more in a conventional world. It's definitely a little bit different than, you know, what many of us have dealt with in the last 30 or 40 years, but it's not unheard of or unseen before. Like, we're not having to guess, you know, whether COVID's going to have another wave or not. And, you know, whether the government's going to shut us down or not. You know, we don't have to make those kind of forecasts anymore. So I think it's a bit easier now. Well, it's a lot easier now than it was in 2021. I would say it's a little bit tougher than it was before COVID, but not, I don't want to make excuses because we're dealing with more conventional factors that economists should be able to deal with now. So it's definitely a little trickier. Actually, you know, the other day, Jay Powell was asked that question directly in his press conference, and he said, he frankly said the Fed is having a harder time forecasting these days, and it's probably true. But I don't think we should you really use that as a crutch or an excuse. You know, I think we should still get the broad directions right at the end of the day, because, you know, as I said, we're dealing with much more conventional forces now.
You know, Doug, I feel like in the last, especially in the real estate world, everybody's become interested in employment data and all these things that we never used to care about. Is there one data point apart from, say, the Bank of Canada meeting about the overnight rate that you feel like is not talked about or understood enough that everybody should be watching?
It depends how obscure you want to get. But I would say the one indicator that, you know, frankly, even economists didn't pay much attention to, it was out there all the time, but we never really paid that much attention to it before the last couple of years, but it's become pretty important, are the monthly job vacancy numbers. And both Canada and the U.S. produce them. And they give you a pretty good indicator of how tight the job market is. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, some of those job vacancy numbers are a bit bogus because, you know, firms might be advertising jobs that they don't actually have. You know, it's almost like a defensive measure to like keep a stable of possible workers. But, you know, even to me, that's a signal. If firms think they have to have, you know, have to be able to looking just in case, that gives you an idea that they think things are tight. And it's interesting, the job vacancy numbers basically peaked in late 21 or early 22. That's when the job market was at its most tight. And in both countries, those numbers have come down, but there's still a lot more vacant jobs reportedly than there were before the pandemic. And that's kind of to me, a key to watch is how quickly are those vacancies coming down? Because that'll, if they really start to come down, that'll give the Fed and the Bank of Canada some sense that the job market's loosening and they don't really have to slam on the brakes much more. So that's a new, somewhat more obscure indicator that that we're paying attention to. But if you're talking about broad numbers, the two most important still out there are the monthly job numbers that actually are separate from the job vacancy numbers. So the unemployment rate, I think is the single most important number in the employment numbers, and definitely the CPI report, the consumer price index in both. You know, ultimately the Bank of Canada is targeting inflation, so the consumer price index report is the single most important economic report that is produced every single month.
Last question for you, Doug, and we really appreciate your time. What will be the headline for the rest of 2023 and 2024?
So, you know, I'm often asked what keeps me awake at night. And frankly, it isn't economic factors, it's geopolitical factors. And, you know, what's the kind of thing that could tip us into a downturn now? Like the economy is somewhat fragile at this point after the rate hikes. I think it is, you know, some of the geopolitical risks that are out there that are probably most threatening. And it's interesting, you know, of course, in 2024, a lot of countries are going to have elections, including the U.S. And I think realistically, next year will be dominated by the 24 election. I think that's going to absolutely, you know, it's probably going to dominate economics in the year ahead. And frankly, the election, the coming election, politics could even somewhat make the Fed and the Bank of Canada a bit shy, especially the Fed, about raising interest rates further. You know, they do not want to become a political football. They don't want to become part of the conversation. The Bank of Canada, at points, has been part of the political conversation here in Canada. So in a word, I actually think politics and geopolitics are actually going to dominate over the next year. But that's a bit out of my scope. I would say hopefully the story is going to be that inflation has come down a bit and we're finally looking at some interest rate relief by the end of next year.
I hope so too, Doug. All of our listeners will be familiar with you, but if they're looking to find out more about what you're doing yourself and over at BMO, where's the best place to go?
You can just Google BMO Economics, and almost all of what we produce is available on our website. And I would encourage your listeners to take a look and poke around. I think we have lots of great stuff there. And, you know, like I said, you don't need a password to read most of our stuff or look at our forecast.
Well, Doug, thank you once again for taking the time to join us today. All of our listeners appreciate it no end, and we look forward to hopefully having you back on in the near future when we see the rates start going in the right direction.
Corey, Matt, thanks for having me, and great talking to you.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks so much, Doug. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, folks. Corey and my discussion with Douglas Porter, chief economist at BMO.
Going to be honest, I still haven't listened.
You know what? Let me just say, this reminds me of certain conversations we have where it's so dense and action-packed that it's a short conversation, but it's almost like I know I'm going to listen to it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that's it kind of reminds me of Murtaza Haider.
Murtaza Haider
is a good, is like, there's those,
I feel like Tom Davidoff is like that as well. Anyone,
the people that you get, Ali Wolf was kind of like that as well. Like it's like the people that you get that are talking and thinking about these complicated issues. It reminds me, I was just listening to someone talk about this the other day about how tough it is to, the more you know, the harder it is to actually, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that idea, right? And it's really incredible because as we've been doing this show over the years, I feel like my perception of my own understanding of things peaked in year one.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say.
That's where I felt like, oh man, I know everything about real estate. And then as we kept going, it was like, wow, I know less than I thought I did. And as you uncover more, you're like, what's the idea? The further you get away from the shore, the deeper the water, right? And it's very much that idea with these economists is that they're talking about like really, really, there's so much.
Oh, so and this, and I can't wait for you to hear Douglas Porter because it's such a high level.
Yeah.
And it's so fluid and fluent, the way he talks. It's just like, you ask him a question, you let him go. And it's like, wow, this is great.
Well, that's my point is that when you get to that level where you realize how complicated some of these issues are, but you can still talk in a concise way around them. It's really impressive. So,
right. Absolutely.
Amazing. I can't wait to listen to this one. Matt, what else do we got before we shut down for the day?
What else do we have before we cut for the day, Adam? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is our website where all things real estate related live, including our back catalog that's, we're coming on a decade and actually
episodes. 400 episodes.
Yeah, no big deal. So our back catalog, the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, is also housed at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, which is where Douglas Porter originally.
It's crazy. 400 weeks of doing this show almost.
Yeah, think about that.
I know. It's unreal. Unreal. Unreal.
Actually, you know what? I don't know if the math works. 400 weeks.
Well, anyways, we'll do this after the show.
But it's all there. If you want proof, it's all there at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. We have the Livewire. This is our weekly mailer where we're sending out stats before anyone else, different types of stats. We got deal of the month. We have a bunch of pre-sale, VIP access to pre-sales with some pretty insane incentives right now. We also have, of course, private client services.
Yeah, Matt, because if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And what a good time to be using PCS to kind of monitor the market. Because, I mean, here's the thing. This market, it's like every week, it's tough to get.
It is. It's an really interesting moment.
A real solid pulse on the market right now. And I got to say, there's more inventory rising in certain areas. Certain areas seem to be softening. Other pockets, flurries of activity. Check it out. You just sign up for your account. You can monitor the areas you're interested in. You get to see the sold prices and you get to see what stuff is selling for. And that is what matters. So head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And Matt, how can people, what else did you want to say?
Well, no, I just wanted to say, you click buy with us to access PCS and you hit sell with us to access the sold plan, which we discussed. So if you want that most downloaded document we've ever produced, that's sold with us on VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and it emerges out of thin air once you enter your information.
Paperbound.
No, it's great. If you want to talk about that or anything else, of course, you can try me at 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We, of course, have that Kokomo line as well, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We'll have a fantastic week. And next week, we have an incredible episode. Who's on next week?
You know what? It's John Friesen.
John Friesen, CEO of Mission Group. I'm a huge John Friesen fan. I think a lot of our listeners are huge.
Biggest John Friesen fan.
I feel like John Friesen, though, he's one guy that makes you feel, it's like most people would not get calm sitting down with someone of his stature.
Yeah.
But he actually makes you calm just because of his way of being.
He's
got a really Zen-like quality.
Zen-like quality, great perspective as well. So stay tuned for that. That's
tons
next week.
Tons to learn from that episode. We'll see you back here next week.
2000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.